107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. On this Wednesday, Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill on the way. Kane's got our traffic, and it is a Wednesday as well, when we get to talk to our buddy Jeff Poor. Of course, Rita's work in Lanyap and Yellowhammer News, Breitbart, and the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville every weekday afternoon. He joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, and I know it would be shocking to you, but I'm gonna open up our conversation with a discussion of the proposed toll on the proposed I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. I know you didn't see that coming.
Well, it is dominating the politics here in the middle of August in 2019.
Yes, big time, because not only is it a story, well, it's been a long drawn out story here locally, but it has now, I guess, become a political flashpoint here, and it's showing solidarity among folks in just in Mobile and Baldwin counties, maybe elsewhere in the state, but it sure as heck is showing it in anybody who's got an R behind their name, except for maybe the governor.
Right, and there's just such a flippancy. It sounds to me, and you talk to the same people I talk to, maybe we even talk to some different people, this is kind of, they got their minds made up, and they don't really care what you guys think down there. It's going to take a little bit more than just, I think, an outrage in Mobile to get the governor to even budge on it.
It sounds like, if people read through that op-ed that ran in Yellowhammer last week, or if they were listening yesterday when Representative Shane Stringer talked about what their conversation, because they met with the governor over at the Grand Hotel over, I think, Friday or over the weekend, the South Alabama delegation. I think you're right. It sounds like they're going through the motions, going, okay, yeah, we're going to hear from you. I mean, just like, you know, if you... just like they're there, pat you on the head, say what you want to say, but we're already, I mean, this is locked in. This is what we're doing.
Right, and we don't, we're trying to figure out, I've talked to a bunch of people about this, just different staffers, different members of the legislature, trying to figure out what the hold is here that John Cooper has on the governor's office, and just kind of why, you know, it seems like it's a political loser, yet it's all, you know, it's full steam ahead.
Okay, let's talk about that, too, how state government works for a second. So, John Cooper, who was put in the position of head of ALDOT under Governor Bentley, but now serving under Governor Ivey, that is a position that works at the pleasure of the governor, correct? So the governor can, for whatever reason, decide that person either stays or goes.
Right, and there's such a weird attitude. Okay, if you've ever noticed just kind of how state government is, once you get away from the elected officials, you know, we go to the polls and we vote for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, et cetera, et cetera. When you get just underneath that layer of elected officials, there's this bureaucracy that just thinks it's above operates above the politics. I would say you can look at ALDOT, and it thinks that, you know, politics is just kind of an unnecessary evil. But we operate outside of politics, like it's almost like when you're watching nationally the whole Mueller saga and all of that. And the Department of Justice, and, you know, the president can't tell the Department of Justice what to do. It operates on the law and legal theory,
right,
when in reality it's not really that way. These people in Montgomery, in some ways, it's kind of an administrative state of its own, and I think that's kind of what's going on here, that, you know, John Cooper and whoever else is within ALDOT just thinks, look, we don't really answer to the politics of the situation. We're trying to do what's right, what's best for you people that you don't know any better.
This is the Alabama deep state.
Yeah, I mean, a deep state might be a little stronger, but I don't think they're plotting against the governor, but it is an administrative state that does think politics is silly, that we really make things happen, and we're doing it for the good of you because we're the ones that know best.
Okay. John Cooper said it was, maybe it was a month ago now, 3 weeks ago, I forget, in that meeting where he said that this, that basically what's happening down here with tolling is just the beginning, right? This is the future of big projects in the state of Alabama going forward. Is that, Is that spaghetti sticking to the wall elsewhere in the state where people go, well, maybe we should side with the people in South Alabama because it could be us next?
A little bit. It's such a foreign concept to them. I heard Pepper Breyer's on your show, and to a lot of people, you know, especially up in my part of the state right now, what goes on in Mobile might as well be going on in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure for many of your listeners, what goes on up here might as well be going on in Canada. Right. It's just so far removed. But I do think that the two things, obviously, yeah, there's a fear that tolls could come up here and play a part of it, of our roads and bridges someday. But I think it's just the biggest thing, the second part of this, is just that people are getting steamrolled here. This bridge is clearly not popular, and people clearly don't.
Well, the bridge is popular.
All in for it.
The toll's not popular. Well, I still there's some people just.
When I say the bridge, I mean the whole thing.
Okay.
The whole plan,
all right. Fair.
Right.
Fair.
The bridge. Let's say the bridge plan. It's clearly not popular. So the fear is, what if someday they would impose their will on another part of the state and handle things the same way? I think that's a bigger story there. It's just kind of people recognize that there's something going wrong, and then that is our state government. I mean, we're all in this together, and it may not impact us directly. We, you know, you live in Huntsville, you may cross that bridge once or twice a year, but what if they want to do something similarly? And, you know, it might not even pertain to transportation. It just might be so unpopular, but they tell you we're going to do it anyway. And I think that resonates a little bit more than saying, hey, we're going to have a toll bridge someday up in Alabama somewhere.
What do you think the percentage of people from elsewhere around the state, what do you think the percentage is of people that even know that's a possibility right now? Like, is this on anyone else's radar or just the real politically aware?
Well, they're running ads up here. Jim Ziegler's running ads up here. But I do think it's a small amount of people. I don't think it's it's your usual talk radio listeners and people that keep up with the news that are watching it. But one thing I will say, there is a statewide Senate race, and I've gone and followed these candidates around up here, and they all talk about it. And I think they're kind of your messengers. I think all these guys, for the most part, are against this bridge plan, and they will, in a way, do PR for the southwest part of the state.
Jeff, when we come back for the break, I want to talk a little bit more about PR in a way. I mean, with Governor Ivey being seemingly tone deaf on this issue and pushing forward with it, is that a tell on what her plans are for the next gubernatorial cycle? Do you think there's something to be made of that?
I think perhaps with the prisons, if it's unpopular, well, this is my way or the highway, guys, and then whoever's telling her, whoever's driving the train, we'll have one today, perhaps.
All right, coming right back. More with Jeff Poore right here on Mobile Mornings. Get your text as well at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. We get to talk to our buddy Jeff Poore. And I tell you what, run to the text line here. I got a couple questions for Jeff before we pivot on this. And let's see. What do you think? Two questions about the constitutional amendment to ban tolls on interstate highways. What do you think of that, Jeff? Will the folks in the north part of the state support it? And we'll answer that one first.
Well, I totally think that people statewide would support it. But one thing that would concern me about doing that is you pass that. What if they just designate the new bridge as a non-interstate? What if they just designate
you
it?
You can't
like
do
the
that.
Airport
bowl?
Yeah, you can. You can make you can keep the interstate on the tunnel, and you can make the bridge the interstate. There are literally loopholes when it comes to designating what highways or what.
Well, Lord knows I've learned in this whole process, there's a whole bunch of stuff I didn't know. I mean, every week it's something like, well, there's a nuance I didn't know about.
Right, and they would just designate it a state highway or something, right? You would have I-10 going through the tunnel, and then this would be State Highway 55 or whatever you want to call it. It would be the toll bridge. But it would present a problem to the governor because I think a lot of this is contingent on tolling the tunnel. So therefore, you know the whole plan wouldn't work.
It absolutely
really upset things.
When they came in back in January, folks from ALDOT, they said necessarily they would have to toll the tunnel for the numbers to work for this P3, which, I mean, I've said it to folks before. I really do. I think if we go in the time machine, you come back and they're talking about this bridge project, let's make the toll $6. Heck, let's make it $7. But it's just on the bridge and the Wallace Tunnel is untold. I don't think you have any of this, not nearly the political turmoil. Maybe not zero, but not anything like it is now. If people said, okay, if I want to take the bridge, I'm going to pay the money. If I want to go the same old way, I don't pay the money. You wouldn't be hearing this.
But what would that look like? I mean, how many people would be taking the tunnel versus the bridge? I would think the vast majority of people would be taking the free bridge, free tunnel.
Sure, that's why they said it. Yeah, they can't. That's why they can't do it. They say that's why, because they won't get their money.
So maybe you knock off of make it half or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to give these guys any ideas. But maybe you get to take the tunnel at a discount. It's just if you do the constitutional amendment, then it kind of ruins the entire plan. But I would guess if they really, really wanted to, they could designate one or the other a state highway and leave I-10 designated as what the other one.
I mean, once again, though, what a circuitous route you have to go to get around the will of the people.
But it seems to be the norm now. I mean, that seems to be this governor's way. I mean, I was a really big KIV fan up until this whole bridge thing. And it's just like it's a little bit concerning that this is just the steamrolling here. And we're I guess we kind of saw this a little bit with the gas tax. But we all knew the gas tax was coming. Most of us were asking, you know, kind of, most of us in this political field were talking about it. Maybe it didn't really make the headlines until later on. But the way they did it, you're like, wow. I mean, that was, like, masterful the way they did it. We were never, ever talking about a toll bridge in that 2018 election cycle. And it's clearly not popular with anybody there. And it's just, they're just full steam ahead. And I will say this, I think that's good. We're going to see that with the whatever happens with this prison situation. The only caveat with that is, though, the legislature has to be involved, so maybe that will make them tap the brakes a little.
Jeff, it seems like most people around the state are operating as if Kay Ivey not planning on running for governor again, like this might be her last go at it here. Do you think she did not expect political pushback on this, or do you think she just doesn't care?
It seems like she just doesn't care almost. I would be curious to see, you know, she's every time something like this happens and you see one of these morning consult polls with her approval rating, she's riding high. I mean, she's lost a little and they want to blame the abortion ban, but I think there's more there. I would be curious to see how she does now, especially with just the attitude about the bridge and the toll plan. So we'll see. But yeah, I think that she's got this political capital to play with, and she's made it clear she's going to use it.
All right, just one last one here on the toll, and then we'll talk about some other things. Ashley asking, can the state borrow or get a loan from other projects based off projected revenue from the toll? So, I mean, can the state, we've talked about the state bonding, you know, can the state borrow or get a loan for other projects based on projected revenue from the toll? I guess so. Would that money be diverted? No, I guess that money goes to the private entity,
private company. Yeah, yeah. It's the P3. So they get the money, and I just wonder what does, and this toll could go up based on inflation and up to 25% or something, whatever. What does the toll look like in 55 years when we're getting to the end of it? Are people going to be paying like $20 to go across the Bay Bridge someday? If this happens, it's something to think about. I don't know, but we're not really talking about how the toll could increase. It's just that sticker shock right now is like, wow, $6.
But yeah, it could go up, and it's $9 if you don't have a transponder. If they have to send you the bill, right? It'll be that's the $3 administrative fee on top of it. So it's a whole other discussion there. All right, before we run out of time, looking at the story this morning, and Dow's looking set to fall 400 points after the bond market has flashed a recession warning, which is the inversion. I know it would sound like, you know, it's a yield inversion, sounds like something from a karate movie or something, but it's actually a financial thing, that people's faith in the long-term bond rate has been switched with their short-term. In other words, short-term bond rates are better than long-term. Is this the candidate that's more powerful than Harris or Biden or Booker or any of them? Is this the fear for the Trump administration in 2020?
I think so. I think the economy is everything. Mm-hmm. The Russia, none of that stuff really, really will matter if the economy goes south. That's to me, if the economy goes south, and then you get the problem is, can the Democrats really execute with the right candidate? I always point to 2008 when we talk about presidential politics. Remember, Palin comes in at the convention. All of a sudden, McCain closes that gap. He looks like he's in striking distance of Obama. Then the financial collapse happens, and we're all cagey and economist. It's all socialist again, right? You know, it's all TARP, it's stimulus, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Is there a Democrat up on that stage, though, that kind of will do it in a way, sound like a moderate in a way that we, like Obama did in 08, that compared to now? Are the politics completely changed in 12 years that you need the radical socialism at the economy go south? I don't know that we're quite there yet, but I do think the economy is everything for Trump's reelection bid, because all he's got to really say is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, this to me, and to go back a second here, I think Che Guevara would be run as a moderate with today's field of Democrats, but that's a whole other story. If you look at the situation right now, this is something that, if the president has done, and I think he's done this to himself to some degree, he takes credit, right, for the economy, which any politician would do when things are good. Look at me, it's just my economy, I've done this and that. Well, the problem is, when you hitch yourself to that wagon, when it goes south, man, you can't break free from that. Then it's your economy as well.
I think he's got a little wiggle room. I think the economy can mildly go south. If it's still better than when he took office, that he could still own that. You know, and we all know the economy is going cycles, but if he's trending upward, even despite losing some ground a little bit, then I still think he has a case to be made. But if it goes south in a big way, if it goes south in a big way because of China or something along those lines, then he's got some real problems.
Okay. What about as the issues facing the president? President's talking, and he is, you know, he's a populist. He's not a, you know, old-line conservative. And he's been, I mean, there's been more gun limitations or limitations to guns done with his presidency than I think in the presidency of Barack Obama, with bump stocks and now a discussion of more enhanced background checks, red flag laws, and all that. I mean, this is some pretty thin ice he's treading on for a Republican president.
I agree, but here's what I would say about that. There's only so much he could do without the power of the legislature, and that is the Congress. I don't think Mitch McConnell is going to be doing much of this. The NRA and Mitch McConnell's Senate leadership are just, they're tied at the waist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that 2017 contest where they were running the ads with Roy Moore being a gun grabber?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Who do you think that was benefiting? That was benefiting Luther Strange. At whose behest do you think that was? That was at Mitch McConnell's behest. The NRA and the Mitch McConnell, the leadership, Republican leadership in the Senate, do each other favors. The NRA is going to be calling in a favor, I think, this time around, saying, "Hey, we don't want to see these red flag laws. We don't want to see any regulations." McConnell may say, "Well, I may have to throw them something," I don't think it's going to be anything we're talking about right now here on the news.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was the bump stock ban. I knew it right after the murder spree from a dirt bag in Las Vegas. I said, "Get ready, this will be the sacrificial lamb." So there will be something else here, but you don't think it will be these red flag laws or enhanced background check?
It may be some kind of a background check, but I don't know the red flag laws are going to happen, because there's so many people already crying foul about the about due process and the Constitution.
There we go. Jeff, as always, man, we appreciate our time with you. Remind folks where they can get more of everything Jeff Poor.
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And if you want to enter the octagon that is Jeff and the Battle Royale that goes on Twitter every day with that guy, go do it. Go check it out. Watch the master work. All right. Get your phone calls when we get back. 343-0106.
Thank you, Kane. 838 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Happy Wednesday morning, buddy.
Hey, same to you. This morning, Mitch, I want to talk about trucks. What kind of great deals on trucks do you have at McConnell Automotive?
Big question, Dalton. And right now, what we're excited about, if anybody's been shopping and they see a price out of town and think that McConnell can't meet or beat it, we really always do, Dalton. And one example right now, we've got a new 19 Sierra truck for less than 30 grand. I mean, that's a massive discount. And then you got a 4x4 for less than 40,000. So these are the kind of 20% discounts off the sticker price most dealers don't do. And, you know, we try to do it every day, buddy. And I promise people, if they'll give this new Sierra a try before they buy a Ford or a Dodge or a Chevy, they really will be impressed.
And, you know, a lot of people hear those deals and they probably say, yeah, but I got to go out and I got to bargain with a salesman. But it's not like that in McConnell Automotive. It's an entirely different experience.
Yeah, it's really about what we don't do. A lot of dealers brag about what they do, but we brag about what we don't, which is hassle people and give them the runaround. So, you know, we save people a lot of brain damage when they shop, Dalton, and that's what we're proud of, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a great day.
Have a great Wednesday.
That's Mitch McConnell. You can go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 840 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and it is good. We talked about the story, of course, this week, but now to talk to the man himself, new voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us right here on Mobile Mornings. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Good to be with you today.
Hey, good to have you on as well. And I know a lot of Auburn fans listening here, as we are the station that carries Auburn sports here along the Gulf Coast. So you got a lot of people listening and a lot of questions here. They know your voice. I've listened to you over the years being part of the Auburn family. But now this role as the voice of Auburn Tigers football and Auburn sports. Talk about that.
Well, it's a humbling role for me to be in, Sean. It's a role that I've worked to for my entire career, but there are times where I'm still absorbing all that will come with this job and representing the Auburn Sports Network and Auburn Athletics and Auburn University and the Auburn family. And I'm carrying on in the legacy of some giants in this business, and Rod Bramblett and Jim Fife and Paul Ellen and Gary Sanders and Buddy Rutledge all the way back and the others before them. And it's certainly something that I don't take lightly. I'm very, very excited, that's for sure.
You and I are going to have to go grab lunch and sit down and visit at some point in the future as I developed a relationship that way with Rod and really just one-on-one and personal visits and got to be, you know, just connected even away from the world of radio and of sports. And it's I'm anxious to make that kind of connection with you. And I know the fans down here, they know your voice, they know what you do, but they're ready to listen to you in a new season here for Auburn football and Auburn athletics.
Well, I look forward to that, Sean. I hope we get that opportunity to sit down and break bread and get to know each other a little bit better. And I'm looking forward to it. I work with great people, and I can't wait to work with this crew. With Brad Law, of course, he'll be taking over the locker room duties now, and Stan White back with us again, and you know Ronnie Brown and Jason Campbell and our engineer Patrick Tizzle and Gene Dulaney, who does our spotting and stats, and Chris Davis, our general manager, and Paul Ellen, of course, who's been the host of the football broadcast since 1990. I'm blessed to be able to work with these very talented men.
Hey, Andy, this is Dalton Orwig. Congratulations on your new role, voice of the Auburn Tigers. I know it's bittersweet for you and heartbreaking for us and so many around the country when we heard the news of Rod and Paula Bramlett earlier this year. I was reading your quotes as they named you the new voice of the Auburn Tigers and how you were describing how you plan to take that torch that Rod passed along. And you said, just like when Rod took over for Jim Fife, Rod was Rod, and you're just going to be you. So who is Andy Burcham? Where did your love for football come, and how long have you loved the Auburn Tigers?
I moved to Auburn in 1988. I moved to Auburn at halftime of the Auburn-Kansas football game. I mean, it was such a blowout that they had a running clock in the second half of that game.
and my first Auburn football game, my first Auburn athletic event that I ever witnessed was Auburn, Tennessee a week later at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So that's when my love for Auburn began, and I've been the voice of Auburn women's basketball for 31 years. That has developed with baseball for 25 years, and then I've been a part of the football crew since 1990. And I've lived in the Auburn Opelika community now for 31 years and worked in radio for a good portion of that time. So I'll be honest, when I moved to Auburn, I thought in 2 years I'd be moving back to the Midwest where I'm from, and 31 years later, this is my home now. So my love for Auburn began that first year of getting to know what Auburn was about and learning about the Auburn tradition and the incredible passion that Auburn and its fans have for its football programs and all the athletic endeavors on the Auburn campus. And it has just grown since that time.
Well, it's a really exciting time to be a part of the Auburn program, I'm sure, with how well the men's basketball team played last season, also the baseball team making as far as they did. And now we're on the cusp of a brand new football season and expectations pretty high for the Auburn Tigers and Gus Malzahn this year. But it seems like the main topic right now is who's going to start at quarterback. I know they have a scrimmage later today, but Gus Malzahn still hasn't named a starter. Between the freshman Bo Nix and the redshirt freshman Joey Gatewood, talk about what you like about both of these guys, and if you have a prediction that you'd like to let us know about.
Well, let me say this first. I don't have a prediction right now. But let me say that they're both athletic quarterbacks. They both have good arms. They seem to run the offense well. I think we're going to see Auburn with a running quarterback a little bit more than we saw with Jarrett Stidham in the past, and both of these guys can do that. And I'm not sure really who's ahead. And does it come out, you know, does Gus Malzahn come out after today's scrimmage and name a quarterback, or is it a little bit later in the week? I don't think he's holding off doing that. I think when he knows who the quarterback's going to be, he'll announce it, and he's going to move forward. But it's going to be interesting that regardless if it's Joey Gatewood, the redshirt freshman, or Bo Nix, the true freshman, there'll be a freshman under center when Auburn faces Oregon, you know, in that opener down in Arlington, Texas. And so, to me, that's the story for Auburn going into game one. How does the quarterback, whether it's Gatewood or it's Nix, how do they handle the pressure, the spotlight of such a marquee game between Auburn and Oregon?
Yeah, and that Oregon game, it kicks off just an absolutely brutal schedule for Auburn. I haven't seen any opponents lined up like this in a long, long time. I mean, they play at Texas A&M, at Florida, at LSU, Georgia at home, and then, of course, the Iron Bowl at the end of the year. How important is it to Gus Malzahn and the team to get off to a good start here on August 31st?
I think it's vital for Auburn. I think you have to get off to a good start in that Oregon game. It sets up the rest of your season. Now, if something happens and Auburn doesn't come out of that with a win, is all lost? No, of course it isn't. But, boy, that could be such a huge springboard for Auburn to go in against such a good program like Oregon and get a win on opening night, and then you're back home against Tulane, and you're gearing up for that first SEC game against Mississippi State later on in the month of September.
And I got one last question for you as far as this year goes. With Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson coming back on that D-line, we're looking at maybe one of the top five, top three defenses in the nation if they play to that potential. What are you expecting from the Auburn defense this year?
Well, I think Auburn's defense is going to be strong. And I think Auburn's defense, I think it has to stand fourth first in that ball game against Oregon, because this is an Oregon team that can score a lot of points, get a lot of yards for you, and they'll do it in a lot of ways. And Auburn's defensive front is one of the best potentially that it's had for a long, long time. All those guys that, you know, decided, yeah, I could have gone to the NFL a year ago, but decided to come back and play that next year for Auburn. I think that was huge for Gus Malzahn and this Auburn team. And I know Rodney Garner on that defensive front is thrilled to have those guys back, and he will push them like he does every year. But that's a very good Auburn defense. It has some holes to fill at the linebacker spot, but potentially this could be a very, very salty Auburn defense for Coach, the defensive coordinator, Kevin Steele.
Just joining us, talking to Andy Burcham, of course, the voice of the Auburn Tigers. And just a side note from one radio guy to another, and I know that, you know, all the broadcasters there, radio guys, but Andy's like, I mean, won Abby's in the past, and his radio guy does lives my life doing morning shows and all that stuff. So I know one of us is in that position. So I feel good about that, Andy. Represent us radio guys, us frontline radio guys there with the big network. Make sure, you know, frontline radio guys are we get a voice in this.
I appreciate that. I've done a lot in radio. I'm thrilled to be in this position now, quite frankly. Yes.
I want to remind folks, too, of course, you know, covering the games, but also the coaches show and Tiger Talk. Talk to us about this year on Tiger Talk.
Well, our first Tiger Talk will be Auburn, August 22nd. Brad Law and I will be co-hosting Tiger Talks this year. So that's a little bit of a different dynamic. Look forward to working with Brad week in and week out as we host Tiger Talk. That first one will be on the 22nd. It's going to be a special Tiger Talk. We'll be talking about, we're talking with a lot of the coaches that had championship seasons a year ago. You mentioned the year that Auburn had with the Final Four run in football, another national championship in equestrian, a Final Four run for women's golf, a College World Series for Auburn baseball. And we'll be talking to those coaches at that first one on August 22nd. Hopefully we're going to have Coach Malzahn on that show as the Tigers gear up for Oregon, and then we'll be in the studio for week two, and then we'll be hot and heavy into prep for the Duck.
There you go. Good stuff. And, well, I would say welcome aboard, but your voice has been heard on FM Talk 106.5 for years. But good to talk again. And looking forward to a great season. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Tell Brad Law we said hello.
Well, he's sitting right next to me. We're driving to the SEC office right now, so Brad, they say hello to you, man. he's waving right back.
Good stuff. Andy, thank you for your time. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. War Eagle.
There he is, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Going forward here on FM Talk 106.5.
Should be an exciting year.
There you go. We'll talk with you when we get back at 343-0106.
We got the message.
At 8:54, FM Talk 106.5, and it's a Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday.
There you go. All right, grab a couple calls here. Mike in Point Clear up first. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, everybody needs to look up House Bill 154, which gave them the authority to toll private and public roads.
Right, so
we sent you some information on that, Mom. It's Rob. My wife's name is Robin. Robin.Hutch1.
Okay.
Sent you the links on that. And then House Bill 421 with Steve McMillan, and that was, you know, gave them the ability for toll collection and to suspend driver's licenses for non-payment.
Okay. So let me go back in a second. So the initial bill, so they did amendments to bill. The initial bill for tolling was 8 years old,
154.
Yeah, 8-9 years old before the players. Then when they came back in, they amended it with the attempt to be able to, you know, recoup tax money from it. And yeah, give the, you got, here's the thing: if you're going to go forward with the toll, of course they're going to have the ability to suspend driver's licenses or
right.
keep you from getting your tags, because
right.
That's like a nuance of it. But the vote to give tolling authority in the state, that bill's like 9 years old or something. So it's still, I'm with you, it's not a good thing, but it was still out there for a long time. Right, yeah, people were saying the other day, these legislators went up to Montgomery and gave the state the right to toll. Unfortunately, no, that's been on the books for a while, but heck, why would we have ever looked at it, Mike? We didn't have any reason.
Yeah, I know, we didn't know it was coming. It was like getting hit by a bus, it's invisible.
Yep. Yes.
There's a forum from 6 to 8 at the Five Rivers Delta
right.
Center.
Right.
And so everybody turn off your TV and show up.
Yeah, so, you know, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get a seat.
6 to 8.
Yes, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get a seat. I've been talking about it this morning because I imagine everybody who's running for office in the Senate 2020 or the AL1 race that has an R behind their name will be there. I have a feeling that all the politicos are going to be there. So hopefully there'll be room for the media.
Well, they need to see the pulse of the public. They really get it. Need to see that.
They get it. Here's the thing we talked about with Jeff Poore earlier. I want everybody to come out and be involved in this. I agree with Mike 100%. I just wonder. I mean, I've just got to be frank with you. I wonder if the governor gives a tinker's damn.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that goes on tomorrow evening, 6 to 8. Hopefully I'm going to be out there, barring any unforeseen homework emergencies with back to school. But all I do, listen, I can't help with the homework. I just say, yeah, it looks like you did your work. Did you check your work? There's the dad line. Did you check your work? Mm-hmm. Have you checked this work here?
I'm not looking forward to having to do that in the coming years.
Just do that line. They'll think you're onto them. Go. Look through the go.
Mm-hmm.
Look through the Mm-hmm. Did you check your work here, Sean? Did you check your? You do that line, and that's that. Then they think you're really on it.
It's universal.
You're looking at the stuff, going, Hey, did you check your work? And then that just then it's like a pair. It's like a parenting line. It's a move.
That's gold. For this meeting tomorrow night at the Five Rivers Center, 6 to 8. Do you think they've done enough to promote this? I'm wondering. It seems to me
we've talked about it a bunch, but I don't know. You know, are they? Our news partners at WKRG have talked about it some.
Well, I'm wondering what's the incentive for anti-toll people to go out there, because there aren't pro-toll people that you're railing against. I mean,
you can buy your no-toll bumper stickers.
You can do that.
$25. I've got a bunch of them here, by the way, but we're selling them at a wholesale level, not a retail. If you can buy like 50 of them, come get them from us. Onesie twosies, go tomorrow night and get them.
And those are going, tons of people asking about those. But I'm just wondering, it kind of seems like a pep rally, which nothing wrong with that, but are they going to come together with a plan tomorrow night? That's what I'm wondering.
There are plans. Listen, we'll talk more plans and bounce more plans around, but you've got to get to a situation where the governor listens.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I encourage you. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, but that is 6 to 8, so go to your calendar feature on your smartphone and put that in from 6 to 8 tomorrow night at the Five Rivers Center. Get there early, by the way. Five Rivers Center, if you've never been, is a cool place. You and I will go tour the Natural History Museum portion of it, then we'll go see the event.